This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app at SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, Raj, we're at the top of the hour, and I'm supposed to lead with the big stories, right? The Clippers
are
beefing with each other.
Uh-huh.
And I, by the way, can this team win? I think they're going to have to make a move. I think they're going to have to package spare parts. Spare parts equals anyone not named Kawhi or Paul George for a guy like Jrue Holiday, because you need a guy who under pressure can be Kawhi's crime partner.
All right.
Because Kawhi and Paul George both got arrested. trying that little B&E. Both got arrested.
What else we got for this segment?
Oh, well, you know, first of all, NBA All-First Team has been announced. We want to get into that. We have KC Joyner, the football scientist, joining us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
Uh-huh.
I want to go over my DraftKings picks with him, you know, the daily fantasy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot to talk about. Of course, the Browns and the Bengals tonight.
Ooh, can't wait.
The battle of the garbage teams in the AFC North.
Hey, we got affiliates in Ohio. Stop that.
Well, they know it. What, they don't know it? Listen, if you're a Bengals fan, you're like, all right, we have a cheap, bad owner, but we have a stud at quarterback. And if you're a Browns fan, my heart goes out to Browns fans like no other fan base. You have to understand, the Browns lost their franchise. The dog pound is such a real, you know, the difference between grassroots and AstroTurf. Grassroots is like a real campaign from the bottom up, from the people. AstroTurf is when a corporation comes in and tries to kind of market a campaign as though it's grassroots, right? The dog pound's not AstroTurf. The dog pound is grassroots. That's real, those Cleveland fans. And the dog pound was so upset when they lost their franchise that they actually worked and were instrumental in getting a Browns franchise. I mean, you know, right, it's not the same franchise, but getting the expansion franchise to be called the Browns, and they got to keep the history and everything. Though that fan base is rabid and deserves a winner, and they haven't gotten one in so long. But they know that that's a dumpster fire. What do you think, the people in Ohio don't know that?
So it's not breaking news?
It ain't breaking news, right. Anyway, yeah. So there's a lot to get into, but I've been saying I'm going to get to the calls. I like talking to the callers. Let me amend that. Sometimes I don't like them so much, but I like taking calls, Rob. And I'll tell you primarily why. It's easier. You let the audience do half the work for you. What am I working so hard for?
That's smart.
Kirk in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Kirk?
Expired.
Thought I was talking to like a blue whale or something. You hear those sounds? Jason in Chicago, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max Kellerman,
yes,
how you doing?
Yes, it is. I'm doing just fine. This is off to a
scintillating
start.
All I got to say is Kawhi. He's a little overrated. You know, he's a choke artist too. Game 7.
Yeah,
well, on the line, and that's what
would you call that a choke artist, or would you say that was a choke? Because Kawhi has come up huge in any number of playoff games. I don't think you can call him a choke artist. A choke artist, you know, an artiste is like James Harden. That's you know, chef's kiss. That's a choke artist. Peyton Manning, the first half of his career, choke artist, right? A-Rod for a while in baseball, that was a choke artist for a while. If you're a great enough player, given enough opportunity, you're going to have some good moments too. But Kawhi has not been a choke artist. Kawhi has been a very clutch player who choked big time in Game 7. Do you see the difference, Kirk? That wasn't Kirk in Texas. Who was that? That was someone in Chicago. Do you see the difference
Jason.
Or not? That was Jason in Chicago. All right. Well, there's a reason I don't get the calls a lot of the time. That's why. I thought I was going to be able to sail through most of this segment, Raj. Have tricking the audience into doing half the work for me.
Yeah, I think they're on to it, man. They didn't believe you were going to go to him, but you know, you kept saying you go. You got to have faith in Max, man. He'll get to you. Carnell sounds like a good guy to go to. He's saying, you
know. All right, Carnell. Let's see if you're any better, Carnell. Go ahead. Surprise me.
You would think Raj would know that he's not actually ready to come on yet.
So here's the NBA all first team. All right, fine, I'll work. I think Raj is doing this purposely just to get me to work. I've had a long day, Raj. Fine, I'll work. All NBA team. Now Carnell's ready. Carnell's going to wait now. All NBA team. Backcourt is Luka Doncic and James Harden. This is a regular season award. But for my purposes, I'll include the playoffs, right? Because high leverage games in the NBA count for everything, and the regular season counts for nothing. I'm there now. Regular season doesn't mean anything. The only point in the regular season is because 16 out of 30 teams make it over 50% is to get ready for the playoffs. If you want to argue that the Clippers didn't respect the regular season enough and therefore they thought they could just turn it on in the playoffs, you're not arguing that the regular season matters and that the Clippers should think it matters. You're arguing that they didn't use the regular season properly and paid for it in the playoffs. Regular season's entertaining. I love watching NBA basketball. But when you talk about the best players in the game, if you're just limiting it to regular season, it's a joke. That's a joke. So these awards are largely jokes. Now, usually, therefore, I will have a big difference between the All-NBA first team that gets posted and the actual one. The actual one is mine. That's the real one. So first, in the backcourt, Luka Doncic and James Harden. They got that right. Because Steph Curry wasn't playing this year. And because James Harden, I thought, look, he didn't have a great playoffs. When they lost, they needed more from him. He didn't look like he wanted it at the end of some games. But he had a very good one. And I can't say that James Harden choked in these playoffs and therefore shouldn't be on this list. And then the regular season, clearly he deserves it. And Luka is a beast. And when I said before the playoffs started, I'd take Luka over Harden, I know Harden actually is a defender now too. And that's not Luka at all. But Luka, you knew going in. There's some dudes, you smell it on them. That dude is a like money on the line type player. And he showed it. Luka showed it. They got the backcourt right. The two forwards are the Freak and LeBron James. Now, I would normally be sitting here, like if this was last year, saying, where's Kawhi? I'm not trying to hear that the Freak was the regular season MVP and LeBron did all this and that, because I was expecting Kawhi to beat LeBron on the way to beating the Freak in the finals. Freak didn't get to the finals. And LeBron's waiting in the Western Conference Finals, and Kawhi choked. Kawhi can't be on the all-first team because during the regular season, he also doesn't do as much as the Freak or LeBron quite. He's like a little quarter step behind them. So the playoffs are especially important to Kawhi because that's really where he made his bones. You know, that's really where his reputation is based. I mean, he's a fantastic two-way player, but he doesn't have the court vision and the passing of the Freak or the King, right? Neither one of those, although his passing's gotten better, but it's not like those guys. And his regular season numbers just generally are not what those guys are on offense. Now, defensively, he's at least as good or better. Certainly over his career, he's been better, but the Freak is a real defender, and LeBron James has been at different times in his career, including this season, too. So Giannis and LeBron both deserve the forward position nods for first-team All-NBA. And at center, AD deserves it, too. He's been a beast in these playoffs. And during the regular season, he's the best big, if you want to call him a big. Like, whether or not you call him a four or a five, he's a rim-defending scorer. What's that? It's a five. So they got it right. You see, Raj, after my whole preface about how they always get this wrong and mine is the real list, in fact, I'm saying they got it right. That's the twist. That's the comic twist, Raj, at the end of this whole thing. You see? You get it now? You see how clever that is of me? That's the twist.
Got it right. I don't think they wanted you calling them out on First Take or anything, so I think they sat down in a room and they said, how would Max put this list together? Obviously, they listened to there and they've listened to the radio show since we've started, and they're saying, this is who Max would pick. They know about your love for Luka.
But you're missing the whole thing. It was misdirection. Classic misdirection. I made you think I was going to disagree with the list, but then the reveal, the punchline at the end is that I agree with the list.
Yeah, I'm shocked. That's why I wouldn't have put it on there if you agreed.
Isn't that entertaining? Football scientist KC Joyner joins us on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. KC, are you there?
I am here.
So I have some questions for you. They are football questions. So you are, and you are a scientist of football after all. So you should be able to answer them. Okay. Panic button. Do we hit the panic button on the following players? Okay, I'm going to give you a name, and you tell me if we're to hit the panic button or not, okay?
Okay.
Dak Prescott.
Absolutely not. Rams defense is as good as there is in the league, or maybe in the top five in the league. And this week, they've got Atlanta coming up, and Atlanta has the worst defense in the league. And you saw Russell Wilson put up 30 points against them. No, I'm absolutely not giving up on Dak Prescott.
Odell Beckham Jr.
His vertical numbers have been subpar or less than they should be for him for a while now. And when you start, you know, what's that old Tom Jackson saying? Once is an accident, twice is a trend, three times is a fact. Odell Beckham Jr. is now at the three times level where he's now showing what I used to be is not what I am now. So, yeah, I'd be definitely putting a hitting the panic button there because I just don't think that he and Baker Mayfield are on the same page.
But is that a deterioration in Odell's talent or skill or preparation, or is that a bad situation, do you think?
I think it's just a bad situation. A lot of people don't respond well going to Cleveland, and I believe he's one of those players. And just, you know, he had a certain – they used him in a certain way in New York, and they're just not quite using him in a certain way. And you think, look at that in that offense. So they can go to Landry. They've got other quality targets, and he's just not the focal point of their offense. And that says something, too, that if he was as good as he was in New York physically, they'd be centering that offense around him, and they're not.
So Jordan Renan on ESPN.com had an interesting article a couple weeks ago about how Saquon Barkley's poised to have 2,500 yards from scrimmage this year. He runs into a ferocious Steelers defense where they're sending, it seems, all 11 every play at Saquon, and he can't get anything done on the ground. Now he faces a Chicago defense, a vaunted Chicago defense. Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley, I would be agree with that 2,500-yard assessment coming into the season, but they went up against Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh has the most talented defense in the league. And here's the thing about Barkley, that all running backs, I've been doing this metric called good blocking yards per attempt for over a decade now, and it measures how productive ball carriers are whenever you give them quality run blocking. The league average is usually around 8 yards. The top backs would get 10 yards. Barkley had over 10 yards per carry in good blocking yards per attempt in his rookie season. But whenever backs don't get quality run blocking, it doesn't matter who they are. You can look at any back over the past 15 years, and even historically it holds up, that if you don't get quality run blocking, you're getting maybe 2 yards per carry. He got horrific blocking on Monday night, so that's why he played poorly. And people start saying, well, geez, I can't, you know, I don't want to trust Barkley. I'm in one fantasy league where somebody actually traded him for not dimes on the dollar, but quarters on the dollar, and it's like, I can't believe these people are doing this. The Steelers' defense is that good, and Barkley is still that good, and he has one bad performance. Yeah, you absolutely don't have a panic button on him.
And Mike Tomlin was committed to stopping. I mean, all 11, it looked like every guy on the team was, like, focused on him. Everybody. So this is very interesting. Let me tell you some terrible corporate speak right now, okay? And I'm sure you've heard this, Casey. They'll say things like, I hate, like, efforting. We're efforting. You mean you're making an effort? You're using effort as a verb? Stop it. There's a lot of terrible sports lingo like that and corporate lingo like that. One of them is you're having a learn. You're having a learn. But I think I just had a learn just now because that's what I suspected. If you don't have run blocking, what difference does it make? He touched the ball to carry it on the ground 15 times. He was contacted in the backfield 11 of those 15 carries. So, KC, if you're getting tackled as soon as you touch the ball in the backfield, that's not a tackle, that's a sack. He got sacked. They sacked the running back 15 times. Of course you can't get anything done. But is that an issue of sending extra guys and selling out to stop Saquon and the talent on that team, T.J. Watt, all these guys, Micah Fitzpatrick, all these guys on that whole defense? I know you can say it's both, but or is it really something to be concerned about the Giants' run blocking? Because this offensive line's driven me crazy for 10 years now, where that's the way the Giants have always won with you know, Bill Parcells' hogs up front, and then later on that kind of shock and awe line where the Giants won in 07 and 11 with Eli, won it all against the Patriots. Let's linger on that for a second. Won it all against the Patriots. Oh, it was so good to watch that unfold the second time. Anyway, I lost myself for a second. The point is, since then, they can't get the O-line right, and it's not like they haven't invested in it, not only in treasure, but in draft picks. What is going on? Can they run block, or is that just the Steelers' game plan and talent worked?
Rex Ryan at one point said that no matter if he wanted to, going into a game plan, he said, if I want to, he said, you can say all you want about me, about anything you want about my personality, this, that, and the other. He said, but if I want to stop your rushing attack, I can do it. He said, I know I can do it. I have ways to do it, and it doesn't matter what person I have a defense, I can do it. We can just keep extra guys in the box. You get seven, we'll put eight. You get eight, we'll put nine. We'll decide we're going to one gap and just get right upfield like the Eagles do all the time. And the Eagles' our defense isn't what it was last year. It replaced, I think, with seven starters, and they still held Washington to three or fewer yards per carry on 26 carries last week. And though the Washington only got 18 yards on those carries. If you decide you want to stop the running game, you can. And I always say this when it comes to blocking for backs. Jim Finks, Hall of Fame general manager, when he was the general manager of Chicago, he was talking about Walter Payton. And one time he said, Walter will be as good as our run blocking is this year. And I'm thinking, this is Jim Finks, a guy who obviously knows what he's talking about personnel-wise. And this is Walter Payton, arguably the greatest running back in NFL history.
Football player in NFL history.
He says it doesn't matter. However good his run blocking is how good he's going to be. If he thinks that applies to Walter, it applies to anybody.
All right. See, we're having another learn. Isn't that a terrible thing to say? Why would anyone ever say you're having a learn? You can't just say you learned something. But yeah, yes, we just got smarter about this. I appreciate that, Casey Joyner. Okay, panic or patience with Jared Goff?
It depends on, I mean, if you're looking at it from, you know, fantasy managers would be very panicked about the guy, or actually probably wouldn't be because not many of them have him on the roster. But from a roster perspective, look, you know, they've got a terrific running attack. Now they've got Brown, and they're going to be able to get Akers back up. The run blocking was very good last week, so better than what it has been in recent years because they've been kind of struggling there. I like Van Jefferson as a three. The fact that he can Josh Reynolds as a four, I like the state of that offense. They played a very good Dallas team and got the win on a low-scoring game. I'm not worried about Goff and from that perspective. I'll be worried about Goff when it's another big game like it was in that Super Bowl and see how he plays there. But as far as from a weekly perspective, he's doing exactly what they want him to do, so I'm not too concerned about it, no.
All right. Now, Tom Brady, his grit and determination was questioned by his coach. You have that Kellerman guy on First Take talking about the cliff and his decline. He is highly, highly motivated, and he has weapons everywhere you look, and he's playing a Panthers secondary that's the youngest in the league, and their best player is hurt, and a couple players in the defensive front seven are hurt. I am going to take Tom Brady, I think, in DraftKings this week. Is he a QB1 in fantasy this week?
He absolutely is. I cannot understand why people are thinking differently. He was only 0.4 of a point away from being a QB1 in a 12-team league last week. Anyway, think about it. He has the two picks. He's not playing particularly well. Gronk is playing himself into game shape. Evans is hurt. I mean, he's got all these issues on offense. He's playing a very strong Saints team on the road. And he still puts up 20.4 points. Now he's going up against Carolina in a defense that gave up three touchdowns to Josh Jacobs, and their secondary, as you said, is abysmal. I'm looking at this going, I see easily 20 points out of Brady this week, and I can easily see 30 out of him if the scenario works out right. So if you're getting that type of production out of him, people are undervaluing who he is, absolutely. I'd be playing in DraftKings and in fantasy football. I would want him in a lineup over all but just a couple quarterbacks.
Who are those couple quarterbacks? The usual suspects, Mahomes, Lamar, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and probably Kyler Murray, too. Yeah,
Kyler's another one. Right. Okay. So, finally, Emmanuel Sanders. If there's no Michael Thomas, do you take Sanders because he gets more looks, or is there too much defensive attention on Sanders to take him in fantasy this week?
I've got him ranked 17th on my start set boards. I've got him, his upside grade is a low tier wide receiver one if things go well. So I think he's going to get the volume. But the Saints want to be a running team. They don't want Drew Brees throwing the ball 600 times. They want to throw him 550. They'd rather him throw the ball 500 times. That's why they built everything about their offense around the idea of being able to pound the football. I think they'll do it against the Raiders, and so I just don't think they're going to throw the ball that much. I think a person who's going to probably benefit the most would be Cook, because the Raiders are not very good at covering tight ends, and I think Cook will get probably double-digit targets, and I think Sanders will be well there. But they'll trust Tre'Quan Smith enough to where Sanders doesn't have to be the focal point of their passing game.
The problem with bringing you on to talk about this is Raj is hearing the same thing that you're hearing, and we're in the same league. I need to get a hypnotist in here to erase Raj's memory. I don't like that. Hey, Raj, don't take Cook now. You're going to do everything that Casey Joyner tells you to do. Get a mind of your own already, because I'm taking Cook. That's Casey Joyner, ladies and gentlemen. At Casey Joyner TFS. What does the TFS stand for? The Football Scientist. At Casey Joyner TFS. Casey, appreciate you coming on as always. We got a game two. A game two for the Celtics. Raj wrote the Raptors, and now he's correcting it to the Heat. Is this a must win for the Celtics? No Gordon Hayward. This Heat team is has been virtually unbeatable these playoffs. What, they have one loss? They're in the conference finals with a single loss? What are they, the 2000 Lakers all of a sudden? Is this a must win for the Celtics? I'll tell you what kind of game it is for Boston. It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best networks. Same as big carriers, but for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. For up to, listen to this, 50% less than the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, 50% less. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Heat Celtics talk coming up. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Coming up Friday, a huge game two in the Eastern Conference Finals. Is it already a must win for the Celtics? Plus, the West Finals are ready to start. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Friday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You know what? I'm not even going to get to what I teased right away, Raj, because I have not shown the callers that I'm actually going to take calls or the audience.
No, but tell me what you did call it.
What do you mean? What I called what?
Well, you said it wasn't a must win, but you're going to tell us what kind of win. Just tell
I'm teasing that. I'm not going to tell you that yet. I'm taking a call first. And let me tell you something.
What?
When I take calls, Raj, it lightens the load. I'm tricking the audience into doing half the work.
All right.
Stop it already. I get paid the same either way, but I get the audience to work instead of me.
Brilliant.
STG Schultz in L.A. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
It's Sergeant Schultz, Max, but I wanted to say, whenever Stephen A. proves you wrong, like with Kawhi, even though I don't agree with him, you always make this face like you're a kid caught stealing from a candy jar. Mm-hmm. And you put this like blue steel look, like duck face, like you're taking a selfie. What's up with that?
Listen. I'm a handsome man. What do you want from me? Okay? I'm afflicted with this rare disease where as I get older, I get more handsome. What can I tell you? So, you know, it's not, I'm not giving a look. It's just you're noticing that I'm a handsome man. That's all. When I could, you know. That's my honest analysis. Okay, this is what I was going to say on, and I'm going to get to more calls too, Raj. Don't think that's the only one. It's not a must win for the Celtics. It's a damn good idea to win for the Celtics tonight. Because, look, a must win, they're down 0-2. Can they beat the Heat even though they'd be, like, what, 10-1 or something? 9-1, 10-1 in these playoffs. It'd be 10-1 in these playoffs so far. That's a daunting task, but it can be done. The Celtics play very good defense. They can shoot it, and they'd be down 0-2 without Gordon Hayward. Then they get Gordon Hayward back. And the flip side is if the Celtics win, it's a knotted series. And if you're the Heat, all of a sudden you're looking at it like, damn, they didn't have Hayward and we're knotted up. Like it's just a best of five series now. That's like the Heat not taking advantage of the Celtics. So it's like, I know it's a zero sum game anyway, but especially in a game in a game two tonight, it's just a damn good idea for the Celtics to win. Not a must win, but not only would the Heat be up 2-0, but then the Celtics have to reintegrate Gordon Hayward into the starting lineup. And he does a lot of good things where, you know, his passing helps the starting lineup and he can play defense and he can get his points in transition and you don't have to take the ball out of Jason Tatum's hands or anything like that. to get Hayward involved, but still, you're integrating a pretty big piece, which sometimes could take a game or two to get that going, and before you blink, the series is over, right? So, no, it's not a must-win, but it's a damn good idea to win. Mo in San Diego, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN LA. Sorry, radio, ESPN Max, Radio. I said LA because I used to do Max and Marcellus in ESPN LA. Go ahead, Mo.
Correct, and I've talked to you on Max and Marcellus, so it's been a while. It's good to see to hear you back on the
yes,
horn here.
Yes.
So I've been watching the show, listening to you and Stephen A. go back and forth about the Clippers. First of all, Stephen A. needs to stop because he was one of the main culprits talking about the Clippers and all of the dogs they got and how they line up and how they're so tough. And when I look at the Clippers lineup,
that's right.
And I
how
look
dare
at
Stephen
coaching,
A. That's right. Can you believe he said all those things about the Clippers? Go ahead.
Oh, no doubt about it. And he's barking at you when he had said some of the same things. And
when I took
lineup,
the Lakers from the beginning. Go ahead.
So I look at their coaching. I look at their lineup, and I don't see this loaded team that everyone else sees. And when I break the players down, I just don't see what everyone saw that made them so invincible. I get the whole thing with the wings and how they can do it. But look at their team, and I just look at some of the positions, okay? Number one, who's their ball distributor?
Well, that's the issue. Wait, hold on. That's the issue. The issue is, and it's not Reggie Jackson, right? The issue is that look at the Bulls team from the late 80s, early 90s, right? The Jordan teams. Because they really ran the offense through Jordan and Pippen, all they really needed next to Jordan was a physically strong guard who could defend and shoot the three, right? And so they could Ron Harper or whether it's B.J. Armstrong or Steve Kerr or whatever, like they were nominally the point guard, but they weren't really the point guard. But as good as Kawhi is, he's not Michael Jordan. And Paul George is not Scottie Pippen. And so that may not work for this team. I understood the thinking. Patrick Beverley fits the bill. But I agree with you. They need a guy who can attack off the dribble better than Patrick Beverley and who you can really rely on to be that second star to Kawhi because that ain't Paul George in crunch time. I think that's Jrue Holiday. But if you go for the other, like Montrezl Harrell's a good power forward. No, he can't mess with Jokic. Of course not. But he's a good power forward. Lou Williams, a hell of a sixth man. If you want to break it down, you said you want to go position by position. Zubac is a good starting center. He's a good quality starting center. None of them are stars. But they're nice complementary pieces around Kawhi and Paul George if Paul George would show up in the playoffs. Eric Reed. Is he being blackballed by the NFL? And if he is, what would it take to get him whiteballed? Last take is next. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Coming up Friday, it's week two in the NFL, a must-win already for the Browns. And we get our second look at top pick Joe Burrow, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Friday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, you can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, although not if Raj has anything to say about it. Trying to keep you from this show because he wants me to do all the work. Check out ESPN Audio at home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Eric Reed doesn't have a job in the NFL right now. Neither does Colin Kaepernick. And Reed and Kaepernick called out the NFL for using images of Kaepernick kneeling as propaganda for the league, which is obnoxious and shows you how disingenuous about all of this the NFL has been. About this Goodell mea culpa, I didn't realize. We should have done better. We should have listened to the players. The NFL is now turning Kaepernick kneeling and not having a job, kind of martyring him and also sort of saying that it redounds to their credit, to their benefit, right? That Kaepernick doesn't have a job in the NFL and that he's being martyred. Look at this. We're showing you we're for the struggle. We're with you, Kaepernick. But yeah, but you're the ones who won't give him a job. And when it's Kaepernick, you can say credibly at this point, well, look, at the time that he's stopped being employed by the NFL, we don't think he was a starting quarterback anymore. At least the 32 teams didn't. And maybe he wouldn't take a backup job. Then it turned out he said, no, I'll take a backup job. And they won't give him even a look. Like, maybe Kaepernick is at this point not even one of the best 64 quarterbacks in the world. I doubt that's true, but maybe. But how would the league know if they never even gave him a look? Well, they tried to arrange a workout, and that workout was designed with a waiver for him to sign. For the waiver for him to sign. It was not the standard one that players sign for workouts. And the fear from Kaepernick's people was that it waived liability, right? That Kaepernick would waive certain legal rights going forward in order to get the workout. And Kaepernick wasn't going to do that, I think, smartly. At any rate, how would anyone even know what Kaepernick has left if they won't even look at him, right? But as I said, at least with Kaepernick, they could claim things like, well, he's the quarterback, and for a backup quarterback, that's a lot of hassle, and there's so much national attention. There's not so much national attention on Eric Reed. And furthermore, he's not like, is he a backup? Is he a starter? Eric Reed is one of the better defenders in the league. He might not be the best safety or one of the five best safeties in the league, strong safeties in the league, but he's really good. It's not just the number of tackles. If you look at Sharp Analytics, they have a stat like, tackles above expected, right? Like, in other words, just like runs produced above expected or all these kind of advanced metrics in different sports. This one is, given the personnel groupings, given the alignment, all that stuff, how many tackles would you expect gap responsibility? How many run gap responsibilities? How many tackles would you expect this guy to have? It's not just that Eric Reed's among league leaders in just tackles. It's tackles above what you'd expect him to have. In other words, even when you dig deeper, he's good. And he doesn't have a job. Why doesn't he have a job? Because he stands up for his own rights with the NFL? Because he speaks truth to power? Why doesn't he have a job? You know how many black NFL owners there are? Zero. Now, by the way, you could have several black NFL owners, and if they're billionaires, they may view it more as like a labor ownership dispute, right? They didn't get to be billionaires because they're not smart in terms of their own businesses, and they may see the bottom line just like white owners. But maybe they wouldn't see it exactly like white owners when it comes to issues that affect race. We don't know. I suspect that could be the case. I think most of us do, but we don't know that for sure. There's no way to test it when there's not even a single African-American owner in the NFL. And the reason there isn't a single African-American owner in the NFL is because there are far fewer black billionaires than white billionaires in this country. And of course, the reason for that is not because African-American people are somehow intrinsically inferior at making money. I mean, maybe you do believe that if you're racist. No, it's because of the original sin of slavery in this country and everything since then. Slavery, Reconstruction, Jim Crow, and ongoing systemic racism. That's the reason that you don't have a diverse ownership or diversity at the ownership level in the NFL. And also the reason, maybe, or certainly it's reasonable to think that that's a contributing factor to the fact that Kaepernick doesn't have a job, and now Eric Reed doesn't even have a job offer. And here's what's really problematic about that. Sports is maybe the closest thing we have to a meritocracy in this country. Sports, like if you can't hit the curveball, it doesn't matter who your daddy is or how much money they gave you as a bonus before they knew you couldn't hit the curveball, you ain't playing in the majors, not for long. You may get more chances than others, but not for long. And by the way, if you can hit the curveball, you'll be in the majors a long time. If you can't play you can't play. And if you can, you can. It doesn't matter what race. It doesn't matter where you come from, who your parents are. If you can play, you can play. It's meritocratic. And what this does, this atrocious behavior at the NFL ownership level, as what is it, retribution toward Eric Reed for speaking truth to power, is undermining. I think what we love best about sports is that it's based on the merit. Who's better? And is a real problem. I'm going to be talking more about this in the days to come. In the meantime, and good for Eric Reed for speaking truth to power. Not stay in your place, not shut up and dribble. Speak truth to power, Eric Reed. Tuesday Night Football and Celtics Heat tonight. So good. Chiné and Golic Jr. coming up right now, ESPN Radio.
Coming up Friday, from the NBA to the NFL, we'll react to the two biggest games of the night and get you ready for week 2 in the NFL. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, ESPN Radio and ESPN News.